This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome, everyone, to Turnbuckle Trash. Today, we're going to be talking about Battleground. We look forward to SummerSlam. And it's all in the family for Kurt Angle and what's going on with the family jewels. And something new for Turnbuckle Trash. We're calling this segment Chris on the Mat. And joining me right now, my friend Zane Peterson and fellow wrestling fanatic. How you doing, Zane? Zane O'Mac.
So, would you say welcome to the jungle or welcome to the machine?
I don't know. They're both pretty good songs, huh? Yeah.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games.
Welcome to Machine.
Oh, yeah. The Welcome to the Machine is one of the few Pink Floyd songs I really enjoy, so I'm not a big Pink Floyd fan. By the way, when you mentioned Welcome to the Jungle, I think I probably told you this once. I went to the Guns N' Roses concert in St. Louis in 1991 where the big riot took place.
Did you know that they are playing, or maybe they already did this week, in St. Louis for the first time in like 21 years?
Yes, and a friend of mine got to go. It was the same person who went to the concert with me in 1991, and she sent me a message saying that she was taking her husband and her son. They had a great time. Nice to hear that. So really nice lady that we're still friends on Facebook, by the way. So
that's neat.
Yeah, it is.
So moving on.
Yes, sir.
What's new in the world of professional wrestling?
Well, we just had Battleground in Philadelphia, and it was a pretty good show, wouldn't you think?
Did you? So would you say that Battleground stood its ground?
Well, that would be one way of putting it. Yeah.
And I'm full of today, right?
You're
full of something.
Full of something anyway. So, yeah, but that did happen in Philadelphia. They opened up the show with the tag team title belts, and it was the New Day against the Usos. And I'll tell you right now, first match of the night, It was awesome, that tag match.
Yeah. I'll agree with you on that one. That was the best match of the night. It just seems to me that the pay-per-views are just becoming glorified episodes of Raw. Am I being too negative? Am I being too?
No, I would agree with you because there's so much interaction between what happens on TV and what happens on the pay-per-views, that sometimes because they're in these big, huge arenas, it almost seems like you're watching the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't it good to see Xavier Woods getting the spotlight and part of the tag team of the New Day this time?
Oh, fantastic. I was glad. I was going to mention that I was like, holy crap, Xavier Woods is in there instead of Big E.
Mm-hmm. I thought he did an awesome job, too. I think
he's fun to watch, dude. Yeah. He's fun.
Very underrated performer in the ring, and Kofi Kingston just has always been one of my favorites. And they started, you know, when they were doing the build-up to this, they did the rap battle, and we talked about that last
week. Yes. That was pretty funny, dude.
Yeah, on the WWE Network, you cannot find that rap battle where you can find the rap battle, but it's been edited. Where the Usos started talking about the situation with Xavier Woods and Paige getting to know each other very well.
Why do they do that?
Because they're family friendly.
Oh, come on.
You can be family friendly and still leave in stuff like that. It wasn't vulgar. They just made a reference to
it. It goes back to what we've talked about. This could be a whole conversation for a... You know what we need to do?
Let's do
this next episode.
Okay.
The most politically incorrect episodes, or our favorite politically incorrect time in wrestling.
Okay.
I think we should maybe have a little segment. Talk to Chris about that.
I bet that would be interesting.
Let's get Chris on this subject. Is the WWE too politically correct?
You know what? I think he would absolutely run with that. By the way, later in this episode, we're going to have our very first episode of Chris on the Mat. And he's talking about some of the things in wrestling that he loves and hates. And it's pretty good stuff. The original trash head, Chris Evans. That's coming up in just a few minutes here on Turnbuckle Trash. But hey, let's get back to this this tag team thing. I thought one of the highlights was when Xavier walked the rope and jumped onto the Usos, but they super kicked him right on the button. I mean, he was jumping off the ropes and there was a super kick. I loved it. But the finish was awesome too. After a Trouble in Paradise, Xavier Woods gets back on the ropes, does an elbow drop. Did you see how far he jumped across the ring from the top rope? Not on the turnbuckle, from the top rope.
I think we've talked multiple times about how I would like to see him in the ring more, and I thought it was pretty good, man. What? Okay. It's time for some bleepity bleeps. What in the bleep is up with Nakamura? Dude, I don't like him at all. Not even a little tiny bit.
You know, I wish I knew exactly what was going on with that. I've been reading some things in the dirt sheets that Nakamura is not real happy with the way they're using him, and he might be going back to New Japan. But this entrance that they have for him, I think that's the only reason he's getting a push, because the fans just like to chant along with it. But them calling him the rock star and, excuse me, that man is one ugly dude.
Dude, and maybe he can't wrestle the same style as he did in Japan. I don't know much about him. I honestly don't know, and I haven't done my research, and I haven't watched any of his old stuff. But whatever the WWE is doing with him, I do not like it.
Well, you know, when he was in New Japan, and then he was for a short time in ROH, they called him the King of Strong Style, which is a style of wrestling that is very popular in Japan. It's more kicks, it's more knees, it's, you know, that kind of, there's very little grappling involved. And if he's in a match where they have to grapple, where they're actually doing some wrestling moves, he hurts. I mean, it's obvious his training isn't in that. But the crowd gets into him for some unknown reason. I don't know why.
Dude, you know who I watched a little bit of his stuff on the independent circuit, but I haven't been watching him on NXT, who was really good at, like, with the kicks and the strikes and stuff, was Tommy End.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. Have you been watching him on NXT at all?
I've watched him a few times.
You know what they call him?
Boy, I sent you a note on
you
that
did.
One.
Did.
So. And I can't remember. Something Black.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up real quick. So, yeah, this guy does a lot of punches and
Aleister
kicks.
Aleister Black,
yes. And, man, he's getting a big push right now in NXT.
Good. He's like I said, the stuff that I saw of him on the indie circuit was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, dude, I don't know. Like I said, the whole pay-per-view to me, I know you really liked it, and maybe I'm just in a mood,
mm-hmm.
but it just seemed a little forced.
Well, I would say the Nakamura Baron Corbin match was forced, especially as JBL gets on and compares Nakamura's entrance to The Undertaker. Say what?
Yeah.
That, come on. The only way they compare is in length.
The women's match. What were your thoughts on the women's match, dude?
You know, like you said, it was very similar to what you would possibly see on SmackDown Live. The Elimination 5-Way. I was only surprised at the winner of the entire match. I thought it was hard-hitting. I thought every lady had the opportunity to shine a little bit. But when they started the eliminations, when Tamina tapped out to disarmer, then just a few seconds later, Lana taps out to disarmer, Natalie rolls up, Becky Lynch. I mean, this went bang, 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 bang. And I'm going, ooh, what's going on here? And then finally, Natalie wins it all. That was the only thing that really surprised me, that Natalie's going to get a chance to go for the belt.
Yeah, So let me ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
So is Natalia, is she, like, should we be giving other people a chance? You know, like should they be putting some of these... Should they be putting some of these women, over and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, the women's division, especially since they had that superstar split, it's not just as strong as it was. And I think Natalie, you know, being on Total Divas and then also being very popular on social media, I think that might be part of the reason. And I don't know whether she's selling merchandise or what, but I know she's very popular on social media, so that might be the reason.
Yeah. Dude, let me tell you, though, I'm a little impressed with Lana, dude. She's been doing really good. She seems to reuse a few of the same moves, but they're pretty good moves, and they're pretty hard moves, like pretty hard hitting moves.
Yeah, that sit out power bomb she does.
Really good.
Yeah, and they still haven't really explained what the connection is between Tamina and her. Maybe because we're recording this on a Tuesday evening, maybe they'll explain more coming up on SmackDown Live
tonight on SmackDown Live.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then the next match, I don't know, dude. I honestly thought it was going to be better than it. I mean, because I like Styles and I like KO, but they don't seem to work super well together. But that's just my opinion, and we know what opinions are, and we're not professionals and all that, disclaimer.
Well, I think that when you look at the entire work outside of the pay-per-view, where they've had the title change hands, the day that Chris and I have recorded Chris on the Mat, it was like 4 times in 19 days. I think it's gone a fifth time now, and they're going to be at it again tonight. And then you add in the Chris Jericho three-way match that they had last week on SmackDown Live. I think you got to look at that particular match as a whole in the storyline that's probably leading up to something at SummerSlam, except that one match. I think it's at a whole as they're going back and forth with who holds the title, the U.S. title.
So would you say we're playing hot potato with that title?
I think it's changing depends into diapers, or diapers into depends. And Chris says you got to really work on your Southern accent.
Maybe I got to go visit Chris sometime. He can teach me how to speak Southern.
that is an art. I'll tell you that.
Did you have an accent, Dave, when you were from the South?
Yeah, I had a little bit of an accent, not a really bad one. I'll tell you this: when I first started in radio, I was at a high school radio station in Memphis, and they actually set me in a room with a tape recorder, if you know what a tape recorder is now. But I actually had a first grade reader. And I was reading out loud, and they were telling me words I was mispronouncing.
Like, wow.
Anything with the letter I, Southerners tend to say I, nine, five. And they basically beat it out of me, I'm telling you.
So, dude, what's going on with I can't figure this. It's another one I can't figure out. I love them so much. What's going on with Breezango, man?
Oh, I don't know. I'm really torn because I know they're trying to do comedy, and sometimes it's very clever. Sometimes it is just awful, like them getting all upset with that horse, that little stick horse.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But they seem to be getting over with the crowd.
I know. I love them so much, but it's just, I'm like, I don't get it.
I wish they would go back to when Tyler Breeze came out and he was dressed like that, the janitor, and he had the mop.
Yes.
I love that.
That was funny. That was funny.
Yeah, that was
he
really good.
He didn't really wrestle. He just kind of moved out of the way, and yeah, that was good. And then this is another one you're going to have to explain to me. I don't – you know, honestly, it was a pretty good match because, dude, Sami Zayn, I don't know. I really haven't seen a bad match. You know, he's one of those guys that, in my opinion, it doesn't matter if he's wrestling – he's probably one of those ones that if he was wrestling for a hot dog and a Coke, he would go out there and put on like it was his last match. Mm. Every match that he's doing, you can tell he puts 110% into every one of his matches.
He does.
And he puts on such good matches and gets so underused and so under-recognized. And he is not a spring chicken either.
No, he's in his, mid-30s?
Yeah.
Or around 33 or so, yeah.
Dude, he's been at this for a long time, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's still got a few years left. I think right now he's more being used as a upper mid-carder. And I think he's, you know, I mean, the way the crowd reacts to him, I think he could be, you know, going with the big guys, going for the big championships.
Oh, I don't see a reason why not. I mean... but I don't know. Like, talk to me about Mike Kanellis. You know more about him and the story. What's going on?
Well, Mike started wrestling in ROH, and he was Mike Bennett. And if you notice when you watch, if you watch the Battleground pay-per-view, or even when he comes on, you know, they'll show a graphic that will say his name, and then they'll give their Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Kanellis' Twitter handle is at Real Mike Bennett.
Hmm.
And but that's where he met Maria. They became a couple. They're actually married. But I don't think this particular storyline is happening for the crowd. I don't think it's really getting over. I suspect that you'll see some sort of change in how they're doing things with Maria and Mike Kanellis very soon. Unless the writers are just enamored with it, I don't see it getting over.
He's got some pretty good moves.
Yeah, Mike, strong.
Mike, I mean, those two really worked very well together. I thought they did put on a very good match. I wish there was a little more backstory and a little more continuing story that wasn't so strange.
Yeah, well, I think with them just getting to the WWE and they're wanting to give them a big push, they had to get Maria and Mike, they had to get them a star to feud against. They had to find a star, and Sammy wasn't involved in any big storyline at the time, so they picked Sammy's.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what I was saying at the start. The whole pay-per-view kind of seemed a little forced to me, where a lot of these... like the Sami Zayn match was kind of a last minute thing, and you know what's funny? I just realized.
What's that? It's funny.
Apparently, it wasn't that big of a deal to both of us because you didn't say anything either. I didn't say a word about the Rusev and Cena match.
I have it marked down on my notes. Because
Dude, you didn't like it, huh? Okay. This is. Can I
go for it, my man? Go for it.
Oh, maybe this is me being a little too critical. Okay, I really didn't care for the match. This is my opinion because I didn't like the way the American flag was treated.
You're not the only one. There was a lot of internet chatter about that.
I think that they should have done something different, you know, even if they would have had a red, white, and blue Cena flag and a, you know, something like that, you know, but I didn't think that they should have done, I mean, because even for, you know, even the Bulgarian flag, I mean, you know, out of respect for their country too. I mean, to have your country's flag being thrown on the ground and stomped on, and I just didn't care for that. And maybe I'm thinking a little too politically correct. I don't know. What do you think?
You're not, because when I'm watching the match, and the first time I see the American flag hit the ground, I went, oh, why did they do that? So I agree with you there, and I also agree about Rusev's Bulgarian flag. If you'll remember, when Rusev first came into the WWE, he had a little bit
Russian.
Of a, yeah. Oh, he was playing a Russian, yeah. And he was the Russian flag, and Big Show got in the ring and cut a promo that was scathing against Russia and the Russian flag. And I think, if my memory reminds
me... Oh, yeah, he yanked the Russian flag down and stomped on it in the ring.
And then
he had to come out to and apologize.
Yes, he did, because the Russian embassy got all upset about that. So you're not the only one that thought that. So don't think that the WWE hasn't gotten some flack for that. I haven't heard of anything about Cena saying anything about it. And you think, as patriotic as he is, that he would have said, nah, let's think of something else to do with this flag match.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So, talk to me about the Punjabi prison match.
The Punjabi prison match.
Pajami.
Yeah, pajamas.
Pastrami prison. The bamboo wrap.
It was too hard to see. If I would have been in the audience, I don't think I would have liked it at all, because it was hard to see any time that they would have a camera angle that was outside of that prison. And I'm saying, if you're...
I didn't understand the doors shutting every... I don't get it.
Well, it's something that they did when the Great Khali was in his prime. And okay. Overall, the match was fun. I thought the bit with it 3-on-1 with the Singh brothers coming out and being so involved in the match, 3-on-1, I thought that went a little bit too long. But I tell you what, I liked the twist of the Great Khali coming out.
Did you?
I liked it.
It's good to see him back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you heard anything on his health? I know he was... He's had a lot of trouble with, he couldn't hardly, was it his hips or his, I don't know, he's had a lot of trouble with, he couldn't hardly even move in the ring.
Right, and I think he's back in India.
Mm-hmm. He has a school back there.
Yeah, a school and a promotion back there. So, but, you know, to have him come out and just do the bit where he's choking Randy Orton out and Jinder Mahal retains the title, I thought it was a good twist. A lot of people are upset about it, but heck, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
So what's next? Are we going to... Oh, I owe all you mother truckers a beer. Isn't that what Stone Cold says when his phone goes off?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
I'll take a root beer, please.
What's going to happen next?
Well, on SmackDown last week, I don't know if you got to see that, but John Cena came out and he was kind of challenging Jinder Mahal to a match at SummerSlam. But Daniel Bryan came out and put the kibosh on that. The day that we're recording this, Cena is going to have to take on Nakamura for the opportunity to see who will move on to take on Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam.
Nakamura?
Nakamura.
Boy, that's two totally different... That's going to be a terrible match.
Yeah. So what you're going to see is you're going to see Nakamura, just beating on John. John will come back, and then Baron Corbin will get involved. Guaranteed. Baron Corbin is involved in this match somehow tonight.
You know, it wouldn't hurt for me to see a little Baron Corbin, Jinder Mahal match. Two great big... guys, real strong guys, hurt my feelings at all.
Well, I'm more of a Baron Corbin fan than you are. I mean,
you've
said that in the past.
I'm getting there though. I really wasn't I really thought they pushed him a little too quick. But it seems like they kind of pulled back the reins a little bit, and they're kind of making him earn his way a little bit more. And he's been putting on some pretty good matches, dude. He's been doing really good, and it seems like his style is getting a little bit better. I mean, he is just a big, strong guy, but he can move pretty good.
And you know what? I like the character he's portraying because it is him. I read an interview that he said that's who he is. And I think you'll find that when somebody can just be themselves, that 9 times out of 10, that makes them a stronger character. The one difference would be Goldust. You know?
Yeah.
Dustin is nothing like the Goldust character, but he pulls it off so well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Goldust. Did I ever mention that?
Oh, maybe once? Twice, or 5, or 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 times.
We're once, twice, 3 times a Goldust lover.
Okay. Where did that come from? You're channeling your inner Lionel Richie here, I guess.
I'm channeling a lot of strange stuff.
Oh,
tonight.
Man.
I've got a lot of things spinning in my brain about wrestling, but I can't seem to put them all together. I guess maybe I should write them down.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's
yeah.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
I have a few places on the internet I go to.
The one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com, because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that? What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh.
Ooh, podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I just want to give a shout-out to our Chunky. Sure was nice of him to reach out to you and put our show on his Geeks of the Industry site.
Well, yeah, it was. Thanks to Chunky Larry and MSR with Geeks of the Industry. And I think we talked about it a little bit. They have several different types of podcasts on there, from gaming to wrestling to horror movies. And they're not all family-friendly, but they're all very well done. And we appreciate them asking us to be part of the Geeks of the Industry family. It really is pretty daggum cool. Oh, got to tell you something really cool that happened to me over the weekend. Thanks, guys.
Tell me.
Last weekend, I was at a family reunion here in Logan, actually just right behind my house in a Bowery there. And there was a guy there, and he starts laughing because I'm wearing my new pants that are WWE pants. They have the title belt says WWE. And he's, there's a wrestling fan. So I just kind of started talking to him, and he's a distant by marriage. I mean, like 4 or 5 times removed type stuff. But he was from Georgia, and he is a huge wrestling fan. His name is Michael. So, hi, Michael. I told you I would talk about you on the podcast. Michael even showed me pictures of his action figure collection for the WWE. And it is so huge. It probably rivals mine. Probably better because it has more old school people.
Dude, yours is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe that you scored on those dollar faction figures.
I'll finish. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, what happened was I had a friend of mine text me, And my friend said, hey, man, the Walmart on the south end of Logan has a huge amount of wrestling action figures for a buck each. And I went down there on Saturday, and I bought 9 of them. And I said, man, that's pretty good, 9 figures. One of those figures was one of those build another figure type thing. So you had to buy 4 figures in this series, and they had all 4 of them, $1 a piece, and the build a figure was none other than Paul Bearer. And I thought that was cool. So I go back, like on Monday, after I'd sent you some pictures showing this, and they had more. And I bought a Tamina, I bought Sami Zayn, I bought you one. I'm going to be sending it to you.
What? Me
one. Yeah, I got you a Sami Zayn. For a buck, man.
Dude, you're too good to me.
Oh, yeah, I'll be sending that in the mail to you because I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, so did you watch Raw last night?
Yes, I did.
So is I guess Brock announced that he wasn't going to be renewing his contract through after SummerSlam, right? Okay. So will he lose the title or what's going on?
Now, here it is. Here's what happens. You get the people that just get a little bit of information. It's part of the storyline for this Fatal 4-Way in SummerSlam.
Okay.
So Paul Bearer comes – I mean not Paul Bearer. Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman comes out. And he's with Brock, and Heyman is cutting a promo saying he says that Kurt Angle did this because they want to take the belt away from Brock Lesnar. Then he says if Lesnar loses because the match doesn't have the champion's advantage they're always talking about, that if he loses, then Brock is going to leave the WWE and so is Paul Heyman. So I think it's a work. But a lot of people have taken it seriously because of something that happened last weekend with the UFC. Did you hear what happened at the UFC fight?
I haven't, no.
I'm not a big UFC fan. I got to admit, I don't even know who this guy is. John Jones. He's supposed to be one of the best. He wins a big fight on Saturday night, and in the post-match interview, let me see if I've got the notes here. Yeah, he says... He says in the ring, he says, Lesnar, if you want to see what it's like to be knocked out by someone who weighs 40 pounds less than you, to meet him in the ring and the octagon. So I think that led to a lot of speculation that Brock would be going back
to
UFC.
But isn't he's in trouble with the UFC with the whole doping thing, right? Didn't he get in trouble with that? Like he can't compete and stuff? Or?
Yeah, he got into a lot of trouble with the allegations of not passing his test, you know, for steroids. So I doubt, you know, I still think the whole thing was a work. People are saying that Brock would leave. I think he's looking possibly for a way out anyway. I don't think he's going to go back to UFC. He's never been really happy being a wrestler. It's just a way of making a living for him. He's got plenty of money now, so
yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to see what happens at SummerSlam, but I do think it's pretty much a work. Mm-hmm. We are family. I got all my sisters with me. Well, I thought it was kind of interesting. I found a little something that I'd like to talk about. Remember the Monday Night Raw where Kurt Angle said he had dated a woman to college for... And 9 months after they broke up, a baby boy was born. Mm-hmm. Turned out to be Jason Jordan of American Alpha, which also came as a surprise to his tag team partner, Chad Gable, didn't know this was happening. So there's been a lot of talk about that. But I thought it would be kind of interesting because, you know, it's obvious that Kurt is not his father. And, you know, it's just part of the storyline. But it is an interesting storyline. But it's not the first time that people have been related in wrestling that have no relation at all. So I'm going to go down a list and talk about some of these people that supposedly were related. Hornswoggle. Remember Hornswoggle? It came out that he was the son of Fit Finlay, and then it came out he was the son of Mr. McMahon.
So not
related at all. Kane and The Undertaker are probably the most famous ones. And a lot of people didn't realize that the Smoking Guns, Billy and Bart Gunn, not related at all. Hmm. They were just put together as brothers. The very obvious one is the Dudley Boys. They're not related. Although, coming up in our segment with Chris, Chris and I discuss all the Dudley family members. Pretty funny stuff. We start talking about all the different family members in the Dudley brothers. There were a bunch of them in ECW days. Remember the Basham brothers? Doug and Danny? They were in and out of the WWE really, really quick. And a lot of people, well, I don't know if you remember this or not, but when Edge and Christian first came into the WWE, they were said to be brothers, but it only lasted a couple of weeks before they stopped that in. I think another very famous one was Ole and Arn Anderson. Not related in the least. I didn't realize that for years, but Ole and Gene Anderson, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, were a tag team. And then Gene was getting up in age, and this young kid comes in, Arn Anderson, kind of looks like an Anderson, and they put him together with Ole, and the rest is history. I mean, Arn Anderson, one of the great performers. I mean, it is so terrible he had his career cut short because of that paralysis in his arm, but in his fingers. But I loved Arn Anderson's promos when he was with Tully Blanchard and with the Four Horsemen. Just awesome stuff. Yeah.
He was one tough dude too.
Yeah, just good stuff. And the Hollies, remember Hardcore Crash and
Hardcore. Yeah, I remember.
And Molly Holly.
Yeah.
Not related in the bit. Not at all. And I wasn't watching wrestling a lot when the Godwins were very popular. Phineas and Henry Godwin.
Don't know who they are.
Let's see. Hillbilly Jim was one of them.
Hmm.
So, and then Ken Shamrock supposedly had a sister in wrestling for a while, Ryan Shamrock. And then the last one I could think of was Jimmy and Johnny Valiant. Hmm. Not really related. So I think that's the Boogie Woogie Man, by the way. I love me some Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. So that was kind of fun to think about that. And that it's not the first time. A lot of people are upset because they're thinking, well, Kurt Angle is not his dad. It's not the first time they've done it. Remember, people, it's storytelling. Telling stories.
So that reminds me. So I've been watching, I told you, I've been watching Glow on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And it is definitely a not safe for work promotion. But at first I was like, I watched the first episode and I was like, I am not going to finish this. This was so stupid. And then I was like, all right, I'll keep trying. And so I think I'm on episode 8, and dude, it's pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
So it just kind of reminds me of what you're saying. So they take one of the girls, she's going to be their star, and she has absolutely no wrestling knowledge or anything whatsoever, but she's pretty. And she's going to be the American. Her name's going to be Liberty Bell. So she's trying to figure it out and trying to figure it out. She doesn't understand wrestling and she doesn't understand. So one of the girls, Brodus Clay is her brother on the show. She takes him to a wrestling match. And what was his name? Alex Riley?
Oh, yeah.
Alex Riley's in it and he plays something like John Steele or something like that. So long story short, because I could go on for hours because it's pretty funny. So she's eating, she's watching wrestling, and all of a sudden she goes, and the girl's trying to explain to her, you know, he's mad at him because he took his wife and blah, 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 you know, going on. She's like, I get it. She says, it's a soap opera.
Ah, this means something.
So it was pretty funny because I was like, it all of a sudden just clicks. Mm-hmm. And she's like, this is a soap opera.
And so are the days of our lives.
But, you know, that's one thing that I think Lucha Underground has set a little bit of a different tone for the whole storytelling, because their stories are pretty deep and pretty well thought out, I guess, played out. I don't know. What would you? How would you explain it?
Well, when I was talking to Martin Casals, Marty the Moth, last year at the Salt Lake Comic Con, I was asking him basically, you know, what the difference is between Lucha Underground, which I love Lucha Underground, and the other wrestling promotions. And he said the approach is Lucha Underground is a TV show with wrestling. Mm-hmm. And the others are wrestling shows that have TV elements in it.
So I see.
The storytelling is in a different way. And I got to tell you, I got coming up in a few minutes. I want to talk about some of the things going on Lucha. Martin did a great segment. Marty just cracked me up, and I'll tell you what happened in another segment about that, because I was messaging him on Facebook, and it was pretty funny what he came back with. But that's the big difference, is the approach is, you know, they're looking at telling the story first, and then the wrestling comes involved with
the other.
Because they have all these really weird characters, the mass characters, the people with supposedly supernatural powers.
Well, and you know, another thing that's funny is they kill people off in Lucha Underground.
They do.
So, anyways. But, yeah. So what's next?
I want to get into one quick thing here, because I got to ask the question. What is going on in the WWE with all the shots that the wrestlers are taking, how do I put this nicely, into the man region? You know,
I don't know. Seems like that's low blows have been, seems to be more prevalent lately,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, well, you look back at the Battleground. There was the sign where Baron Corbin was disqualified because of the low blow. And then in the KO-AJ Styles match, KO runs AJ into the ring post, spread eagle. You would think, hey, you know, that's the same thing. It's hurting really, really bad. And then he did the shot where he fell onto the top ropes later. But those went on where Baron Corbin was disqualified. So I'm wondering how they justify that one move is completely different than the other move when it comes to,
you know,
the
you know what
ding
it is?
Area. What's that?
You know what it is?
What's that?
It's them gosh damn referees. They're not doing their job.
That's what it is.
That's what it is, Dave. We should fire them. Fire them all.
Fire them all.
And hire me and Dave to come take over.
I'd have to get down on my hands and knees, and that ain't happening, brother.
Well, maybe you could have your cane, and you could just hit them out here.
Yeah, one, two, three, hit them with the cane. That's okay. That's part one of today's Turnbuckle Trash. We'll have part two coming up, including something new that we call Chris on the Mat. We'll talk about a really strange situation, real life, in Global Force Wrestling involving Alberto El Patron and Paige. There's more coming up. Thanks for joining us here on Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.